Most Americans are not prepared for the end of their working life. Those in their 50s are meant to have somewhere around about $400,000 in their pension fund. And the median amount for those in their 50s is about $117,000. Those in their 60s are meant to have about $700,000. And the median amount is about $400,000. And if that isn't bad enough, 48% of Americans have no provision at all for the end of their working life. Indeed, it's not just individuals. Companies and indeed the government itself have plans that are already bankrupt. I was reading recently in Forbes magazine this quote: many government pension schemes haven't set aside the assets needed to pay the benefits they've promised to current and future retirees. They can delay the inevitable for a long time, but not forever. And forever is just around the corner. What it basically means is many are going to be shocked when we get to the end of our working lives and we discover how little we have laid up for our retirement, and we may spend many of our latter years in financial pain. But however unprepared people are for the end of their working lives, and however much financial pain that will cause, I'm afraid there's a far greater problem of unpreparedness, and that's preparedness for the end of life, full stop. Not the end of our working lives, but the end of life. And whatever financial pain might be ahead for those of us who have not really prepared for retirement, this far greater pain if we haven't prepared for the end of our lives. And yet many don't want to think about it. Many may say, well, I'll think about that later. There's no real urgency. I don't really take it seriously. And yet, as that quote in Forbes put it, forever may be just around the corner. Retirement is something we might say is just for old people, seniors. But end of life matters is for young people as well, because we don't know when the end of our lives will come. Even just in this past week, a young girl drowned in a lake in Rockford, a teen boy yesterday in Lake Michigan, a six-year-old missing, not yet found. End of life isn't something that we can say, oh, that's for old people. This is something that we all need to be ready for, no matter what age we are. So, how do we get ready? Well, thankfully, God in His mercy has sent us to Wisdom University. And while we've been taught by Professor Solomon up till now, we're now going to learn in the classroom of Professor Ant. Yes, we're sent to this tiny little creature to learn massive lessons. A tiny creature, but with titanic lessons about how to prepare for the future. Just to see what leads up to this in chapter 6, in verses 1 through 5, Proverbs is prescribing urgent deliverance from foolish decisions in the past. We've made foolish decisions in the past. He's saying, get out of them, reverse them, escape from them. And then in verses 6 to 11, it's prescribing urgent preparation for potential problems in the future by preparing for the future. So it's really just saying foolish commitments and foolish laziness store up problems that we need to focus on and seek to escape from. So how does Professor Ant teach us how to prepare for the future, and especially our eternal future? Well, the first thing we notice here is the ant is busy without a brain. That's the first thing Professor Ant will say to us as we sit in his class. He'll come to the podium and he'll say, Students, look at me. I'm busy. And I don't even have a brain. Well, that's a slight exaggeration, as we'll see. But it's not got much of a brain worth speaking about. You notice that here in verse 6, where Solomon says, go to the ant, you sluggard, or you lazy person. Consider its ways and be wise. Sluggard isn't a word that we often use today, is it? But I think you can feel what it means, can't you? It's one of these words where it's just like dripping with horror. Who wants to be a sluggard, especially in West Michigan? In our Dutch Reformed community with its very strong work ethic, this is about the worst possible thing you could be. And yet, perhaps there are more sluggards among us than we realize. Maybe not in our everyday work, but in this great work of preparing for eternity. The word sluggard only appears in Proverbs, but it appears there 14 times. And so clearly we're being told that this is a really important lesson if we want to be wise. It's like one of the first lessons in Wisdom University. And by saying to us, go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person, you slow person, you sleepy person, consider its ways and be wise, it's basically saying that ant is wiser than you. You've got lessons to learn at the feet of this little insect. Think about it. It does have a brain, but it's a tiny brain. It's smaller than a grain of sand. It's got a tiny brain, and God has blessed us as human beings with huge brains compared to that, indeed compared to just about every creature. And yet here we are with our big brains and we're sent to this tiny brained creature. It's remarkable, isn't it? And Professor Ant is saying to us, you know, I do actually have a brain in here, but it's only got 250,000 cells. Now that might sound a lot, but it's not. Because human beings have brains with 100 billion cells. That's a number beyond our comprehension, isn't it? But basically, it's a one with, if I counted it rightly, 12 zeros after it. Or, if you want to put it another way, you'd need 4 million ant brains to even get near the size of a human brain. 4 million ant brains. And yet, here we are, and we're sent to sit in the class and learn from this tiny-brained creature. Go to the ant, consider its ways, and be wise. And Professor Ant is saying to us, you've got these huge brains, and I've got this tiny brain, yet look how busy I am preparing for the future compared to how you are preparing for the future. He's saying here there's a scary big difference. He's really effectively saying, I've got a PhD in preparation for the future and you're not even in kindergarten. What can we say when the ant comes to us and says, I'm busy without a brain? Well, I think the first thing is worship. Worship God, our creator, for creating so many creatures who can be our teachers. Because it's not just the ant that God has made to be our teachers. There's Professor Ant for sure, but there's also Professor Deer. Psalm 42, as the deer pants after the water, so my soul pants after you. There's Professor Sheep. We're sent to the sheep, and Jesus uses them frequently to describe what his people are like. And he's saying, study the sheep if you want to learn about yourself. There's Professor Sparrow. Consider the birds of the air. They don't have barns, yet I look after them. They were sent to Professor Lion to find out what the devil is like as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. They were sent to the snake to learn what the devil's like and his slithery, fraudulent ways. There's so many animals in the Bible that we are sent to learn from, and we should be thankful. We should worship God. We should say, thank you, Lord, for giving me so many professors, so many teachers of such important, vital lessons. I thank you, my Creator, for making these lower creatures to teach your highest creature vital lessons. When God created these animals, he was thinking about us and all we needed to learn. And so we want to thank him for that. And maybe not just worship, but humility as well. We sometimes might look at an ant and stand on it or swat it or kick it out the house. We think, what's that? And yet here, we're being told that it's actually above you in one important area. It's actually better than you. And so next time you see an ant, obey this. Obey this text and just pause before you stamp on it. Pause before you even pass over it with your eyes and say, teach me, Professor Ant. And teach me humility. Teach me so that I am able to sit and listen and learn and observe and consider and be wise and walk away from an encounter with an ant wiser than when I foresaw it. It's really humbling, that, isn't it? But it's telling us to be active. It's saying, look at the activity of this tiny little creature. Look at how much it puts into getting ready and prepared for the future. And copy it. It's saying, laziness is a sin. Spiritual laziness is an even greater sin, and it's extremely foolish as well. That's one of the lessons we can take from the fact that sluggard appears so often in a way that's condemned in Proverbs. It's saying this is not only sinful, it's silly. This is like the silliest thing you could do, in a way, to actually give no thought to preparing for the end of your life and to devote no energy to it, or little or no energy. So prepare. If our brains are 4 million times bigger than an ant's, should we not be 4 million times more prepared than an ant? Better be an active ant than a slothful sluggard. Okay, we might say to Professor Ant, you're so clever, you're so wise, what else can you teach me? And so we go to his second lecture, and it's this: the ant is busy without a boss. The ant's busy without a boss. Verse 7, it has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. He's saying, compare brains, lecture one. Lecture two, compare bosses. And it's saying to us, I don't have one, but you've got lots. I think we all understand this, don't we? I mean, I'm sure all of us have worked, and at least those of us who are older, worked in situations where when the boss is around, there's a certain ethic and energy level. The boss is off for a day or away for an hour. Things change. And even children, I'm sure, understand this. When mum and dad are around, you're doing your chores. They're done really well. When they're not looking, well, maybe not so well. It helps to have a boss, an overseer, isn't it? And here the ant's saying to us, I don't have a boss. Look how many you've got. That first word there, it has no commander, means a guide. a guide. And spiritually, we have guides. We have the Bible to guide us. We have conscience to guide us. We have ministers, pastors, elders, Sunday school teachers to guide us. We've got lots of guides. And then it speaks of an overseer. And again, we've got lots of spiritual overseers, especially God. This word really means somebody who sees over everything and into everything. It's no coincidence that a lot of places of employment are putting cameras in workplaces so that when the boss is away, I still see you. And here we are reminded we have an overseer. We have a God who is all-seeing, sees everything, everybody, every time. That should help us. Then the next word here, the next boss, is described as a ruler. That's someone to whom we must give an account. Somebody that we must report to. Again, we have that, don't we? We have a God who will ultimately call us to account at the end of our lives. And here the ant saying, I don't have an earthly boss. Neither do I have a heavenly boss. You've got lots of earthly bosses, and you've got one great heavenly boss. What are you doing with it? Look what I'm doing, and I don't even have a boss. I only have instinct. You have instruction. I'm storing up my provisions in summer. I'm gathering my food at the harvest time. Compare our summers. I'm in the heat of the day, it's so dry and it's so hot and we're all so thirsty. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. I'm scurrying around. I'm carrying food up to 10 times heavier than my body weight. To and fro. I don't stop for coffee. I don't stop for lunch. I don't have a siesta. And look at you. You're sleeping in beside the swimming pool. You're totally relaxed, spiritually speaking. Not unconcerned. Here's me. I'm gathering, pulling in, I'm getting ready for winter so that when these fall frosts begin, I can relax. I'm busy without a boss. This passage calls us to thankfulness for our bosses. It may not feel like that's a good thing, to have a God who is a guide, an overseer, a ruler, an instructor, and to have parents and pastors and elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers and friends and family who bring us God's word and who call us to repentance and faith and who point us to Christ and encourage us spiritually and warn us when we need it. Maybe we think, I would really rather have none of these things, but the way it's presented here is it's something. All these things are things to be truly thankful for. And to go back through our lives and to identify the overseers, guides, rulers and teachers who have sacrificed themselves and have given themselves to teach us and call us and bring us to account and to tell us to prepare for the future and have helped us to do so. That's just such an amazing blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And above all, thank you, God, for yourself. That you are someone who, though I am like a little ant in terms of my size in this world, I'm so insignificant, yet you come to me and you want to be my guide and my overseer and my ruler. That you take an interest in my little life and you want me to use my life well and prepare for the life to come. Thank you, Lord. What a mercy. There's lots and lots, millions, billions of people who don't have that. And not just thanks, but confess. Let's confess as well. Because I'm sure all of us here who can acknowledge God as guide, overseer and ruler, and that we've had guides, overseers and rulers, that yet we haven't used them to prepare. And be busy spiritually. preparing for eternity. Maybe we could sum up these few verses like this: despising accountability only delays accountability. Despising accountability only delays accountability. If you shun your guides, overseers, and rulers, I don't want that, I want to run away from it, I'm going to live elsewhere, I'm going to stop going to church or whatever, you're despising these guides, overseers, and rulers that God has given you, but ultimately, you'll have to face God and you'll have to give an account. And he'll point you, he'll say, do you remember that ant that operated only by instinct? And you had all that instruction, what did you do with it? Well, we might say to Professor Ant, okay, you're busy without a brain, you're busy without a boss, you're obviously much cleverer and brainier than I am. Is there anything you lack? Professor Ant says, well, to be honest, yeah, there is. I have a lack. Here it is, I'll put it very simply. I'm busy without a basis. What do you mean? Well, I'm busy and I actually don't have any reason to be. Really? Tell me more, we might say. Well, here the ant follows the sluggard home. He's been challenging him and interacting and arguing and pleading. But then in verse 9, we find that the sluggard's gone home and he's asleep. He's having a nap. He's dozing. And Professor Ant crawls into his bedroom, goes under the door, climbs up the doorpost, the bedpost, along the covers, and goes beside his ear. And he starts yelling, hey, wake up! Lazy bones, wake up! That's what he's saying here, isn't it? How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? I mean, how much longer do you need? What, any time limit on this long lie? Any plans to actually get up and do something? Well, what does the sluggard say when he hears this little voice nagging away in his ear? He responds. He says, oh, I just want a little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to rest. He turns over in his bed. He pulls the blankets over his head. Familiar scene maybe in many of our houses. But of course, this isn't speaking about physical laziness. It's mainly speaking about spiritual laziness. This happens in this church at times, doesn't it? It's happened in our lives. We've heard the voice of God calling us, get ready, prepare. You need to get ready for the end. You need to be busy spiritually. And we say, well, can I just get another week out of this? Can just a little snooze, a little nap? I'm not asking for much. I'm not saying years, of course not. Just a little, a few minutes, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Some of us feel like that every morning, don't we? And the ant, he doesn't give up, thankfully. He warns them. He says to them, you want 5 minutes? I'll tell you what you'll get. There are serious consequences to this kind of spiritual laziness. Poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Get up or poverty and punishment and pain will come on you. And that's true physically, isn't it? We spend our lives in bed and we don't work hard. Then, yes, we're going to suffer poverty and pain in the long run. But the ant's got a far bigger horizon in view than the next week's wages or this year's budget. He's looking ahead and he's seeing eternity. This is God's great concern as he preaches to us through this ant. He's saying, well, that you've got to act. You've got to get up. Please, please. Will you see the urgency of this and the seriousness of this? There's no time for delay whatsoever. I know you've sat here in this church or at home even watching the live stream now for many weeks. And you keep pressing the snooze button. You keep saying later. You keep promising next week. And the little ant screaming into our ears going, you may not have next week. You may not have more time. Every time you hit snooze, you go deeper into spiritual sleep. It gets harder and harder to be woken up. Don't delay another day. There may not be another alarm call. The ant is here saying to us, you know, this is the amazing thing about the ant. I didn't know this until I did some research this week. How long do you think an ant lives for? Well, it varies, but it varies from about 3 days to a few weeks. That's amazing, isn't it? Here we've got this ant preparing like for next season, and it's probably not even going to be around. That's what we're saying. It's busy without a basis. It's busy without a reason. It's going to just have a few days of life, a few weeks maybe at the most, and then extinguished forever. Existence over. And it's saying, look at you. You've got a long life here that could be lived for God, that could be spiritually fruitful and profitable and helpful to multitudes. And even more, you've got an eternity to exist. You'll never be annihilated. You'll never come to an end. You've got an existence that will go on and on and on. Is it not worth some effort, some focus, some concentration, some getting ready? Is it really worth hitting snooze once more? We have every reason in the world to think and plan and prepare for the future. The ant has none. So it's saying, wake up urgently, speedily. Don't wait for another service. If you are not a believer, if you're not a follower of Christ, today is the day of salvation. There's forgiveness available for you for all your past delays, all the times you've hit snooze, all the times you've said not now, all the times you've pulled the covers over your head and you've ignored God's call. That can all be wiped out, forgiven. And all the wasted years, it doesn't matter how old you are. All the wasted decades, you may be 70, 80, 90, and you're still not ready, but you can be. This very day, by faith in Jesus Christ. So, urgently wake up, urgently repent, urgently believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Believe these warnings. The ant here is saying, you know, you're going to be going around and one day, sudden, surprising, shocking, and unstoppable judgment is going to come upon you. Nobody goes out in the morning and says, I hope I'll be robbed today. I hope I'll be mugged. I hope that somebody will come along and steal. No, nobody does that. And yet he's saying, one day this is going to happen to you. It's going to be like a terrorist, like a shooter, like a mugger, a robber. It's going to come when you're not expecting it. He said, be ready now. So that when the call to judgment comes, you'll be ready. You'll have gathered. The ant is gathering little crumbs here and there, isn't it? Little seeds. You look what they're carrying and think, what's the point in putting all that effort into this? And you're probably not even going to eat it. You're going to be dead. It's just going by instinct. It's preparing even just for the next ants to come along. Well, we can gather. We can gather faith. We can gather repentance. These are huge gifts. Gather love for Christ. gather the forgiveness of sins, gather justification by faith, being made right with God by an act of faith in Jesus Christ. Gather Bible verses, gather Bible truths, gather Bible songs, gather worship. All these things are wonderful stores to have to get us through this life and prepare us for eternity so that we are ready, so that no bandit, no terrorist, no mugger will ever take us by surprise. Death will not come like that. No, rather, it will be, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm prepared. It's a wonderful feeling. Some of us here probably think about our end of work, our end of working life, and we are not ready. I'm amongst the 48% who have nothing. But, end of life, ready to go. Prepared. What's a pension compared to a heavenly mansion? Let's prepare. Let's be ready for eternity. Let's make sure we have Christ, the Lord Jesus, as our Savior and Lord, living for Him, serving Him, trusting in Him alone for salvation. The snooze button is not your best friend. It's your mortal enemy. Don't press again, please. Use Professor Ant and prepare for the eternal future by gathering spiritual resources, above all, Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And you'll be ready for anything. You may have a poor retirement, but you'll have a rich, everlasting life. Amen. Let's pray. Eternal.